Hey, this is Nicholas Brendan. I play Xander on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And you're listening to Potential Cast.
You're listening to Potential Cast, Season 6, Episode 15, As You Were. Buffy is delighted when her old boyfriend Riley Finn returns and asks her to help him track down a demon, but her delight turns to shock when she learns he is not alone.
Dun, dun, dun.
I'm Stephanie.
I'm Kimberly.
This is Gabby.
I'm Illyrio.
And I'm Carol.
Hi, Carol.
Hey, Carol.
Hello. Hello, Carol.
Bonjour, Carol.
Welcome.
So, Carol,
welcome back.
Are you all ready to tell us how great this episode is?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh my God!
Is that a hint of sarcasm?
Oh my God! I don't get it.
It is a hint of sarcasm, but I don't dislike this episode as much as a lot of people do. So when I got assigned it many, many years ago for this podcast, as soon as I saw which one it was, I was like, okay, I know how people are going to feel about this one.
That's interesting. I love this episode.
Did you?
It was, hey, there's that dick. And, oh, wait a second. They've decided to focus on all of the positive things about him. And, oh, look at that. He's not interested in Buffy because he's married to someone made out of cardboard.
Yes.
I will just say. And
yes.
We had Buffy kind of being Buffy again, you know? She was all snarky and kicking ass and wisecracking. It was like she was a good old Spider-Man. So I will just say that I, for one, am really happy about this episode. I'm a little bit unhappy with what they decided to do this episode with regards to Spike. In fact, I think it's bullshit. But I think maybe we're going to get there.
Well, I don't understand, like, all the hate for this
episode. I love this
episode.
I
absolutely freaking loved every single second of this episode and happily watched it a second time before recording. And I haven't done a second viewing of an episode in forever. It was like, oh my God, it was like seeing an old friend who acts better now. It's fantastic. Oh my God.
This is a happy thing. This is a very happy thing.
And I didn't think that, although I have to disagree with the wooden, with the cardboard wife comment, or maybe she was cardboard and that's why he seemed like he was a better actor. No, I just thought she was just very, you know, very serious military person, whatever. I just didn't feel the chemistry between those two, or whatever.
I agree.
Yeah, neither did I.
She seemed to be more interested in Buffy than she was in her own husband.
Agreed.
I can't stand the actress. I mean, in this role, she's been in a lot of stuff since then.
Yeah.
Actually, she was a Bond girl right after this.
Yeah.
Really?
Isn't she fluent in Russian? Remember.
Yeah,
I know her.
She was born in. Yeah, I looked her up, and because I was thinking, well, maybe this was like the first thing she did, but it really wasn't. She'd done quite a few things beforehand, and she was born in Russia, and she came here like I don't know when she was a kid. And but oh, that's one thing I do not care for in this in this episode is her performance. Aww. But yeah, there are a lot of people who do not like this episode, and I was dreading you guys seeing Riley come back and just immediately going, no! I'm glad you guys kept an open mind.
No, I'm surprised. Honestly, I was surprised to hear that, number one, Gabby liked it.
Why wouldn't I like it?
Because you hated Riley with such a passion.
What?
Well, yeah. I did too.
Oh, Gabby liked
him. No, I liked him.
Even before?
Yes.
Oh, then who am I? Oh.
I always defended him.
Oh, never mind then.
And when I was watching it the first time, I just wasn't paying attention to the credits. So when he just showed up at the Double Meat Pals, I was like, this is amazing.
Oh, you're surprised?
And a little awkward.
That's awesome.
Running into an ex when you're not doing the best in your life.
And you have that smell.
Yeah, I was ruined by the credits. I was like, no.
But that's okay. Well, Buffy tried to get back in college, but didn't get in.
That was really sad.
Yeah.
Well, hold on. Having read the letter, I think, enough, she actually wasn't rejected on merit. She was rejected on not getting her application
on time.
Oh, yeah?
That's
what I read.
You were right, Illyria.
It's like, you gotta get your shit together if you want to apply to college. And maybe you want to just get your shit together. That'd be a really good idea.
Yeah. Well, you know, she was dead.
True.
True. That does help with this deadline.
But that's no excuse. She was dead.
Excuse.
Come on,
excuses.
Man. You gotta figure out how to apply. There are rules, people. There are rules, and they must be followed. You're not going to follow the rules, then you will not be allowed into college or university or whatever you want to call it.
As soon as she was undead, she should have been like, I gotta apply. I gotta get in my fall application.
No, but as soon as she decided she was going to apply again, she should have been aware of the deadline. I mean, you don't just blindly write a letter and address it to a college person. To whom it may concern. Hi, I'm Buffy. I went to school there and then I left. I want to come back, please. Thank you. That's not how this shit works.
She may have.
Okay. You're in an adult world, Buffy.
She may have asked for, you know, special consideration. You know.
Doesn't matter. Listen, I remember being at school and they, the institutes of higher learning I attended, they were more than happy to give you time off if there was, a death in the family. It's some kind of bereavement thing, right? So let me just say, the fact that Buffy wasn't just given the chance to come back a year later boggles my mind. You know? But SOD, yeah. Right? Might as well.
Yeah. Also,
Dunham. Yuck.
Yeah, dealing with state school, who knows?
Yeah, I guess it's just showing that she really doesn't have her shit together.
Well,
indeed.
And
Stephanie,
nothing is
indeed.
Going right for her.
Oh,
there's no happy stuff going on at all.
No. Yeah. Terrible. Terrible. Yeah. Terrible, terrible.
And she's depressed.
The vampire says she stinks. Pretty bad.
Yeah, that was hilarious. I love that. Listen, let's do that some other time, shall we? Thank you. Okay, bye. Thanks, okay, bye.
About that scene, though, is it just me or was it a little awkward? Because, again, I've seen it twice, where it's like all of a sudden, like they cut to him and then there's a stake and then he dusts. But I don't. And I was like, I was thinking someone else was there with a stake.
So did I. And because I knew Riley was coming, I thought this was.
Yeah, because it didn't seem like, I'm like, where did she have a stake and where did she throw it from? Because it totally seemed like a total rando threw it.
Yeah, it was weird.
Rando stake.
I'm wondering if they had plans to have Riley show up there, but then they changed their minds after shooting that scene. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And had him come in at Double Meat Palette.
Because that would have been just so boring, him just showing up in the
They needed to have her be so embarrassed.
Yeah. I'm here to save the day, mortified. Little lady.
Thanks to me.
Because I am a hero.
So, I say we play Moira Brown's As You Were voicemail. It's the only audio feedback that we have for this episode so far. I'm going to see if I can get this to play super loud and right into my microphone. So let's do this old school-ish. Where's the speaker on this thing? Over here. Okay. Hold on. Let's see what Moira has to say.
Okay, so As You Were, which Buffy maybe finally gets her group back. I thought that last scene where she says goodbye to William was pretty convincing. So this should make him really happy. I guess I'm sounding a little puzzled because I can't quite figure out where this season is going now. You know, we've got reformed Willow, and Buffy seems to have, I don't know, stepped things up a notch in terms of reclaiming some kind of life for herself. I mean, is she finally recovered from having been snatched from heaven? I don't know. I just feel a bit puzzled. Not quite sure where everything's headed. Seeing Raleigh again was interesting. The actor, he just looked a shade older to me, in a good way, which surprised me. And anyway, it didn't irritate me as much as I thought parents might. Sorry, I'm not really saying anything too profound, except that I feel like we've just had a whole bunch of endings or reconciliations. Now I almost feel like I don't know where we go forward. I guess we still have our three geeky villains to deal with, but anyway, whatever. I don't know where we are headed next, so I guess I better watch and find out, right? Right. All right, till next time. Take care. Bye.
Thank you, Maura. Yeah, Raleigh seems taller.
It's that scar over his eye. We'll never know.
It's one of those firefights that
it's pretty hot.
His wife is talking about. But he's always been tall, though. I think they just didn't put her up on a box this time.
You can't put the Slayer on a pedestal, ladies. It's not good for all the other ladies around.
James Marsters always used to say that his height and Sarah Michelle Gellar's height kind of worked because he's not all that tall. But so they didn't have to do a lot of stuff like they did with David Boreanaz or Mark Lucas, where they would have to put her on a box or put it, you know, whenever they were doing like a kissing scene or something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can just see, you know, those little step stools from like that you get from the Home Depot or whatever.
IKEA?
The ones that fold flat. I can just see somebody following her around with one of those folding flat, and then.
Oh, he's the guy in charge of Buffy's stool.
Ew.
That's her proctologist. Hi-oh!
I guess we should. I guess we should save the, asking you guys, having to do with this voicemail, where you think this is going until kind of the end.
No, you can ask us now. We're good.
So where do you guys think this is going to be going?
Gabby Kim?
I have no friggin' idea. This season has been so all over the place, and I'm just happy that there was another episode that I finally liked between this and Double Meat Palace. Because I'm just, this has been just a misery season for me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Ugh.
Yeah.
I don't know either. I think it's, honestly, this season has sort of, after the musical episode, I kind of just don't give a shite. what happens. I don't know why. It just feels like I don't feel like we're ramping up to anything or winding down from anything. You know what I mean? It's just
yeah.
What's happening here?
Yeah, there's no big bad. There's no threat. There's no stakes.
Yeah, I just don't feel like.
I mean, to me, especially the first time I watched it, and I still enjoy it, but how Spike goes from a villain to, you know, her love interest. It's just, I think it's like nothing you've ever seen before.
Yeah.
and still there's repulsion. Even though he's the love interest, it's still kind of gross.
Yeah, like the vacant look on her face, like, all right, whatever, let's go behind the tree.
Yeah,
but what's sad, the more that they're together, the more I get it. I don't like it, but I'm just like, yeah, I get it. You know what I mean? No, okay, let's move on.
No, actually, no, I do know what you mean, because it actually, when I first, I think season six is one of these that people generally either love or hate.
The first half I loved. Now I'm just indifferent. I'm like, okay, what's happening?
There are a lot of people who will say, well, everyone agrees season six is terrible. And then inevitably people like me always come back and say, no, not everybody agrees on that. Mm-hmm. Some of us really like season six.
It's different.
I like season six myself.
Mm-hmm. And also the point that I've seen is, with each season, the big bad gets more and more difficult to defeat. And after a god, what are you going to do?
And there was also, going back to what you said about the more you see of it, the more you kind of get it.
Mm-hmm.
It took me a while. I was kind of fascinated by what they were doing. And with this relationship, mm-hmm. and it was compelling, and I didn't know why. And it took me a while to think through it and get it myself. Mm-hmm. And the fact that for me, one minute I'm kind of there with Buffy, and the next minute it's like with Spike, and I'm, you know, it's kind of disturbing, and I don't know, I like it.
Yeah.
Illyrio is being very quiet.
I'm listening. For me, the issue is one of, if they're going to end it like this, why bother starting it?
What do you mean? The two of them?
Yeah, like why have Buffy and Spike get together if they're just going to end it like this? And what I worry about is that Spike isn't going to take this well in the slightest, and Spike is going to lose it, flip, and because he can now hurt Buffy, he is going to be the big bad.
Yeah, good call. Yeah, why not?
It does something great, which is get rid of those three idiots that I'm not impressed with in the slightest as the potential big bads. But it does something that I don't really appreciate, because I, up until Spike got really, quote-unquote, rapey with his come-ons to Buffy, and, you know, it's not like he was forcing himself on her, but he was definitely manipulating her. And I do remember, it was either someone on Facebook group or voicemail or email, and please forgive me for forgetting who said this, but it was a, you know, hey, Spike, how about you stop manipulating Buffy's deepest insecurities to get her in bed with you? And, you know, he wasn't appealing to the best of her. He was really kind of, he was basically being a sexual, you know, like uh-huh, profiteering uh-huh. and just taking it. I think he was taking advantage of her weakened mental state and stuff. And I think that while Willow was going through witchcraft addiction, I think Buffy was going through,
Spike,
you know,
addiction.
Being with someone she wasn't supposed to be with addiction, because she didn't feel good enough about herself. And I know that's a sad commentary on Spike, but fuck him. He's an evil vampire, right? He's cute and funny, but he's also he's terrible. He has this kind of lovable sucker buffoon type aspect to him, but he's also just awful and mean and not actually understands what the word love means. He understands what obsession is. I don't think he understands what love is. And so the idea that Spike and Buffy were going to be together was kind of interesting.
You don't think he loves Buffy?
Yeah, his love is a selfish love.
I think it's, I really dig her. I'm obsessed with her. I mean, it, like, being obsessed with someone doesn't mean you're actually in love with them. You know, so for me, the major issue was one of, if they're going to do this now, then instead of developing the relationship into maybe Buffy's love actually gets Spike to become a real boy, kind of, now it's, okay, how's Spike going to react to this? And my worry is that Spike is going to go over the deep end. And, you know, on a character basis, it's kind of going to be a little sucky. Especially since Spike knows all of the secrets and all of the things and all of the that. And is he going to go crazy and go after Dawn? Or is this a situation where he's going to go and get the three idiots and try to team up with them? And get them to do some of the dirty work he can't, because he can't hurt other people, but he's going to get Buffy alone. And he's probably going to think this is all for love, but that's all twisted. So I don't know. I'm worried that it's going to go somewhere that I don't want it to go. But if it means that we'll end up getting Willow being back into witchcraft and being hugely badass and evil and wanting to kill Buffy, I'm all for it.
Because I was thinking if he was going to go after anyone, Dawn would be the easy choice, and everyone would be like, ugh, Dawn. But I think he might team up with Willow. Just to make it interesting. You know what I mean? Like, I think that would be pretty awesome if the two of them, like, if he turned Willow to the dark side, I think that would be ideal. I think, pretty awesome. I don't know if it's going to happen, though.
I like that idea a lot. I would love
to see that happen.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Even if just for an episode. I think everyone just wants to see Willow be bad. I think everyone wants to see the characters act out of the norm. You know, even if there was an episode where Xander turned evil for one episode, it'd be amazing. Just to get out of this, like,
I don't think he could pull it off.
You know,
point.
Yeah, but I mean, like, to have him be evil to the point where it's like it's gonna. He might endanger the lives of everyone else again. You know what I mean? I think that would be just to spice it up. We're stuck in the episode rut.
Still, you don't think we're out of the rut with this episode?
It was a breath of fresh air, but it's like we know Riley's not going to be back next week, so hopefully the excitement will continue.
Wow, that's a turnaround. People want Riley to come back next.
You know what? I think if Riley was there for three episodes, by the third episode, be like, who's going to kill Riley? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, totally. I'm in total agreement with that.
It's nice total to revisit, but sometimes you have to not overstay your welcome.
Nope, 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 nope. No, you don't. It's like, oh, hey, when did you get back from Germany? Oh, yeah? Oh. Okay, cool. Hey, what are you doing later? Oh, nothing. All right. And then the next morning, it's like, okay, see ya.
The next morning, it's okay, see ya.
Yeah, it's all good.
See you later. I was originally, just as an ironic little thing, I was originally going to guest on the last episode that I was in when he left. And nobody knew that I was going to be guest on the episode when Riley comes back. So when Stephanie said, oh, or you could do Crush, I said, let me do Crush.
Nice.
But good choice. You guys have some interesting thoughts that Illyrio, I really appreciate the one where you point out the whole, because that was one of the things there? That am I not coming through?
Yeah, you faded out. Can you start over with you really appreciated
the... Lyria, I just want to repeat that I really appreciate your thoughts. yeah, especially on the whole addiction thing, because I think one of the things that mm-hmm. does get lost with people, because the Willow addiction thing is pretty heavy-handed, it never bothered me as much as it does a lot of people, because I don't think of it as much of a drug metaphor as I do just an addiction, uh-huh. a general addiction story, mm-hmm. that Buffy is going through an addiction, Willow is going through an addiction, and addictions don't have to be about drugs. So, I mean, that's kind of how I look at it. So it doesn't, as I say, it just doesn't bother me as much as it bothers a lot of people. It goes overboard and wrecked, but yeah, you can't have everything.
I associated with the drug addiction because they literally make her go through like she's going through withdrawal.
Mm-hmm.
Her body's shaking. She has the cold sweat. She's like, you know, why I associate it with drugs.
Yeah. And understandably so. Understand. Yeah.
It really bothers me because I find it to be extraordinarily lame.
Yeah.
I agree. It's very after school, especially.
Yeah. They did not do it well. But I guess because there's the addiction that Buffy is kind of fighting against as well, which does happen with people. You get, especially the whole depressed thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Agreed.
Which
go ahead.
Depression as well.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty. I have some emails here. Ooh. Bruce, who last time I said was wise enough only to send us email for this episode, wrote us an email, and it says, as Riley were, he says, a year ago, Riley literally had to move on to get his life back in order. After losing his position, career, mentor, and his chemically enhanced power, Riley latched onto the strongest person around for an anchor. Since he was already in love with Buffy, that worked out well, for a while. Later, feeling neglected and depressed, Riley ended up in a Sunnydale flophouse having metaphoric sex with a vampire, just to feel needed. Now he's back on top of his game, fighting the good fight, and in a healthy relationship. His simple message to Buffy is that her circumstances do not define who she really is. The other major point of the episode is just as simple. Vampires are evil. One of the things about season 6 is the writers like to play around with an episode's or storyline's point of view, then leave it for the viewer to figure out. Riley and eventually Sam seem too perfect, almost fairy tale perfect, because Buffy is looking up from that pit of despair behind the counter at the Double Meat Palace. Along those same lines, we've seen Buffy-Spike relationship primarily from Buffy's point of view. Since she was oblivious to what Spike was doing, we were kept in the dark too. Turns out it wasn't much of a plan anyway. The demon was coming to the Hellmouth to spawn in the first place, so all Spike needed to do was get the eggs, freeze the eggs, and put them on eBay. Keep on watching.
Oh, Bruce, you're very wise.
Thank you, Bruce. Excellent. I have an email from Missy! Hello, Gax! Quippy Buff is back! That is one judgmental vampire. Jeez! Like, you smell like roses, dead boy. Poor Buffy. She reapplied for college but got rejected. And her workmate is a total tool. Now, Simone, I know you've been listening to the podcast, but I will reiterate. She didn't get rejected so much as her application was late. You gotta follow those rules, people. Alright? Bronze points! I'm fucking Chris Hardwick all of a sudden, or maybe he stole that from Gary. Guys, the wedding is in 1 week! 1 week! Well, assuming family members don't kill each other between now and then. Also, assuming the bride and groom don't stress eat themselves into a Dorito coma. Xander and Anya have monogrammed towels. So cute! An older and far away reference. Spike and Buffy have sex in her front yard. Thank God no one was walking their dogs or having to look out the window. Willow is a great friend. She's all, I'll hate the bitch. I'll hate her for both of us. Then winds up loving Sam. Like me, I just adore Sam. She's so genuine and nice. She's sweet to all the Scoobies. And she lets Riley pretend he's in charge. Laugh my ass off. Riley is back. Ugh. Go away, Riley. I thought Buffy had already hit rock bottom, but she seems too seriously reconsidering wanting to start things up again with Riley. Riley, the guy that couldn't stand that she was stronger than him and gave her that really shitty ultimatum when we last saw him a season ago. Gross. New low, Buffster. I kind of love that he gets a front row seat to Spike and Buffy screwing. The jerk deserved it.
That's kind of weird.
That was a really weird situation. Awkward. I agree. I think basically the entire fandom agrees that current Spike would never sell wild bear eggs on the black market or call himself the Doctor. Because lame, and he's a different vamp these days. So Buffy blows Spike's crypt up and then dumps him. Heartbroken and homeless in one day. Spike is such an overachiever.
Yeah, did that not seem out of character that Spike would have been the villain there?
I don't know. How does he make his money? It can't all just be kitten poker games.
Yeah, it can.
That's true.
He's a good enough player.
A lot of
my money.
A lot of people also don't like that, you know, it just seems like he's being stupid for not knowing to freeze them. I always look at it and say, hey, he never actually admits that he's a doctor. He actually could be being a go-between between some guy, storing him for some guy.
Maybe. I mean, I don't think I don't think Spike thinks about this stuff as being even remotely bad, because it's just a way for him to make money.
Yeah,
he doesn't care.
So Buffy's broke. Mm-hmm. She needs money.
Mm-hmm.
She's perfectly made to be in this black ops operation. What does she ask Riley for his job?
Because she has to stay around the Hellmouth. She's the Slayer.
Yeah, but they travel around. She can always come back.
I don't know.
She didn't do too well in the military the last time.
That's true.
She wore the pants well.
What if they had a special Hellmouth division? She could just stay there. Take care of business.
As many people have pointed out, shouldn't the council be paying her or something?
Right. Mm. But she's not on, isn't she, wasn't she thrown out because Giles? Wait a second. Don't they think she's dead? I don't know.
I'm still waiting for her replacement Slayer to show up.
But well, she wouldn't get replaced. Wouldn't what's her face be the one to be replaced? Faith.
Who? I don't know who you're saying. I don't understand.
Buffy.
Your audio keeps cutting out. Who?
Buffy was already replaced by Kendra.
And then.
So yeah, who replaced Kendra?
And then Kendra was replaced by Faith.
Faith.
Oh, so Faith, the actual Slayer, until she's dead. But didn't Faith die?
No.
No.
She was in a hospital.
Now she's in prison.
She's in prison.
Oh, I thought she's in a mental institution.
Faith is starring in Orange is the New Black, the prequel. That would be awesome. Orange is the New Black, the Faith years.
I'm just the new black, the supernatural version.
Ooh. Hey, Jensen Eccles is on Twitter, everyone.
Oh, no.
He's pretty awesome, man. All I remember is he was on Days of Our Lives for a while. And then I tried watching Supernatural, and it was fun, but it's so daunting to watch all those episodes. They're so long.
I love Supernatural.
I like the car.
It's really good.
But then I'm like, guys, you're wasting so much money on gas.
Yeah,
with
that's
their
GTO. True. But they do, like, it's not really their money anyway, so.
Nah, all right, no. Well, I don't know about that, because I've only
They're stolen credit cards.
I think the last one I watched was it the Bloody Mary episode? I'm really early in.
Oh, yeah. Good grief. That's like the third episode or fourth episode.
Anyway, it's a little later than that. I've watched the one with all the bugs.
Oh,
yeah,
that's awful.
The racist. That one was not the most famous.
Did you say the one with the shift, the
shapeshifter?
Shapeshifter.
Maybe. thing. Oh, yeah, yeah. The shapeshifter one was cool. Truck. Pardon?
My favorite one.
Truck.
No, I don't think so.
The racist truck.
That's my least favorite episode of the entire
Was it the truck that was racist?
Truck episode. Oh, yeah, that's totally awesome. Racist
but,
truck.
But well, at least we get to see Dean get some.
This is true. That's the first time you actually see Dean.
Hey, Rachel Horn sent us an email, and it's not about Jensen Ackles.
Supernatural? No.
Can I say my favorite?
Yeah,
episode?
Sure, okay. Kim. Whatever.
My favorite one is when they were stuck inside the television series.
Oh, that one was the best.
Okay,
I bet. Have to make time to watch it then. All right.
I like French Connect, the French Mistake. But anyway,
oh, so or Mystery Spot.
So good.
They have Rachel best says.
All right, who's doing a Supernatural?
It's Idjit Cast.
Idjit Cast.
Paul Mackey.
Did they just start?
They're up to, let's see. I just did like the last couple. I did the last episode. What was it? Oh, it was the one with Darla. It was the one with.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Okay. I think they might be like one or two after that's that cool. Now. But they're still on the first season.
Oh, nice. So they were on again, off again, right? Idjit Cast?
Yeah, they were off for a long time, and then they got it all started again. Paul Mackey got it started, and they've got John Pavlich on it, and some really interesting people. Really good job.
Good times.
Going well.
Rachel Horn writes in, "This is going to be short, as I really don't like this episode enough to even read a synopsis of it, let alone rewatch it. However, one important point for you to really think about. Buffy hands Dawn a flattened burger for supper that she squashed during sex with her undead lover. Nice.
Oh, that's so gross.
No hat quotes can erase that nasty. I miss Giles. Rachel Horn."
Aww. Is Giles ever coming back?
Don't answer that.
We can't
ask him. Of course he'll be back.
No, he won't be back. He's gone forever. The last two emails are not related to the actual episode, but I will read them anyway.
Sounds good.
Thomas writes, "Greetings, Gax. I've been listening to you guys since back when you were in the middle of season 4. Coincidentally, the second half of season 4, starting with the episode Hush, is also where I started watching Buffy. And I figured it was probably wibbly-wobbly timey-wimey for me to send in some feedback. Was that paragraph confusing to read? I probably won't get better. I'm very sleep-deprived at the moment. Sorry. Anyway, the main reason I'm mailing you is because I know you guys are... or at least were, big fans of Lost, and I just noticed something disturbing on my current rewatch. I remember it being mentioned several times on the podcast that Damon Lindelof told his writers to watch Buffy. Well, yesterday, I was watching the second episode of Season 3. If you're watching Lost and you're not at Season 3, Episode 2, please fast forward 45 seconds. All right, you're forewarned. Well, yesterday I was watching the second episode of season 3, and something Sawyer said to Kate made me shudder. He said, "You taste like strawberries." What the fuck, Damon? First you inflict Kate on me, and then you quote Rack? Blah. Yeah, I believe I have now given you your daily dose of random, so I'll let you get back to gaxing around. Oh, and by the way, I hope we get more dramatic readings from Illyrio, like Anya's speech from The Body and Willow's breakdown in Wrecked. Awesomeness abound. Thank you for the podcast. You save me from an abyss of boredom every day at work. Peace, Thomas in Sweden." Thank you, Thomas.
Thank you, Thomas.
Merci, Thomas.
And last email I have here is from Kipa Ngoyi. "Dear Gax, in answer to the question asked during the podcast for the episode Older and Far Away, here is the explanation by Mark Field, but in Fragments of My Imagination, which, by the way, I recommend for a very insightful analysis of Buffy the Vampire Slayer once you have finished watching the show. The title of the episode comes from the book Empire of the Sun, which is the book Dawn's class is discussing when she's summoned to the counselor. The basic plot of the novel is the story of Jim, a young boy who was separated from his parents in World War II. After barely surviving on his own amidst the chaos of war, he ends up in a Japanese prisoner prisoner camp.
Printer.
In a Japanese prisoner camp. There he's safe and secure, even if he's a prisoner. However, the other prisoners simply ignore him. When the war ends, he leaves the camp but soon returns there because the world outside seems so insecure. He's finally reunited with his parents, but for all their affection for him, they seemed older and far away. This reasonably summarizes Dawn's view of her own life. She survived a war last year, albeit not her own, and now she's feeling trapped. Naturally, the world outside seems unsafe to her, particularly since Buffy was so overprotective of her last year and pays no attention to her, in her view, this year. For all of Buffy's affection for Dawn, to Dawn, she seems older and far away. Vicky. Thank you, Vicky. Nice. Oh, and Vicky mentions,
that makes perfect
P.S.,
sense.
This is my second email to you guys. The first one was maybe discarded as spam. Probably, Vicky. Sorry. Thank you very much for the email.
Right.
Yay.
Did anybody notice the big change between Dawn's attitude towards Buffy being gone or whatever, mm-hmm. between older and far away and this one?
Yeah, I noticed it. I especially noticed how she was still getting her bitchy side out there with the way she was treating Riley.
Well, I mean, he did just leave.
Yeah, but he wasn't her boyfriend. I mean, give me a break.
But she knows that he didn't see her.
Right. And I'm sorry. Like, am I wrong? Mm-hmm. But when she had that epiphany and, like, ran and then he was flying away, she was going to tell him to, like, go there to say, don't go, I love you, right?
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's what I assumed. And then he gives the big speech at the end, you're the first one, I love, blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, she doesn't say it. Why doesn't she just say it and be honest instead of, I just wanted to let you know.
Because she didn't want anything to happen after. Like, if she had said that, what would happen? Riley would leave his wife and, you know.
No, but at least she would have been honest with her feelings for a change.
But what if Riley was like, oh, awesome, I've always loved you too, you know? Like,
but he's obviously happily married to G.I. Jane.
Do you think they got married on a cruise ship?
No, they got married in a helicopter.
That's what they say at the
end. Yeah, guess who wasn't paying attention to Riley and his cardboard bride? Me. All right. I like the episode, but
I couldn't
stand her.
They got it for real cheap.
How did you guys feel about Sam, other than,
I liked her. I didn't think she was like, I was like, whatever. She's female Riley.
Yeah. I don't know. She's Little Miss Business.
I didn't find her threatening in any way. I didn't find her like conniving. She's just whatevs. Cool beans.
She seemed nice enough. Everyone seemed to get along with her well.
Yeah.
And Duke, I guess guys probably don't understand, when Willow says, I'm ready to hate her. I'll hate her for you.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's something that guys cannot relate to, but we know exactly what that means.
Conniving girls.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't like her because they feel like she's too much of a, what do you call it, Mary Sue?
Really?
Yeah.
Explain to me what a Mary Sue is, because every time I think I know what it is, I don't.
Well, I like they didn't make it about her and about the two girls being catty, fighting over a boy, or seemingly fighting over a boy, you know what I mean?
Right.
Because she wasn't threatened by Buffy. Buffy wasn't threatened by her. They were there to get the job done.
Yeah, and she seemed relatively almost like she was a rock. She's like, oh, well, you're the slayer. It was like, you're a rock star.
Yeah.
You have skills.
And I like that. Also showed that she's not about that catty nonsense because she knows there are bigger things in the world, a la demons, to care about.
Yeah, I think in this case, when they talk about Mary Sue, I think they're saying basically that she's like, oh, so perfect and more unrealistically perfect.
Oh yeah, okay.
And all of that. I find her kind of, I don't know, I have to agree with Illyrio. I find her kind of cardboard and shallow and stuff, but I, not shallow like, well, how can I put it? Not very dimensional, and but I always thought that that was perfect for Riley, that kind of pointed out what Riley needed. That, you know, she's not Buffy at all. She's not complicated. And Riley,
she is Buffy, but she isn't Buffy. She is Buffy in the sense that she can kick ass and take care of herself, but she's not Buffy. Like you said, there's none of that drama that comes with it. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of how I looked at, like, this is what kind of points up what Riley needed, that.
Right.
It was never a good match between he and Buffy.
Mm-hmm.
We want to read
Patrick Thomas says, I'm on it, Steph.
Yes.
Patrick Thomas says, this episode is a great callback to when Buffy used to play opposite a cardboard cutout of a slice of bread. The good old days. Julia says, Riley's wife is almost cool enough to make him seem less cardboardy. Almost. Rachel says, Riley's wife is a big old Mary Sue. Pass. Teofilo Roque Rivas says, there's something really off about Riley's wife. Her scene with Willow in the kitchen is really awkward. It feels like her first acting job, really weak. I think it's somewhat cool to see what Riley's up to, but the episode is really forgettable. Now, I disagree about the episode being forgettable because I love how Buffy gets implicated and it's like what Lucy said to Charlie Brown. You need involvement. And this is Riley showing up at the Double Meat Palace saying, you need involvement. And she gets involved. And, of course, he doesn't give her the details, which, by the way, was just dumb. But so, Teofilo, I will say that I actually like the whole interaction, but I agree that it really did feel like Sam's first acting job. Not cool.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. I didn't think that at all.
I felt like every single one of her reads was, these pretzels are making me thirsty. It was weird. Yeah. It was very weird for me. Diana says, seems like they wanted to make Riley's life as charmed as possible. Almost the opposite of Buffy's. He left Sunnydale for a job. She died. Got pulled out of heaven and now is dealing with mundane things like paying for food and taking care of her sister. He shows up grinning and puffed up with, well, enough of that. Val says, ugh, Riley's back. And he brought a wife. Just great. Skipped. But this is the very last episode that I will be skipping. So, woo and who, break out the bubbly. The last scene is the best part for me because I love that Buffy finally breaks it off with Spike. Or does she? Mwahahaha. At least no more spuffy sexy times under dirty scratchy rugs, behind smelly dumpsters, balconies of crowded clubs, you know, the usual intimate places. 1 out of 10 smelly slayers. Ray adds, I will tell you what, Riley is my least favorite character to ever appear in the opening credits on Buffy, yet I don't actually hate this episode for some reason. I do think that Buffy, after all, she has gone through with her mother dying, her dying, and then coming back all depressed, that it was good for her to see Riley and get closure on that situation. Looking at her past relationships with Angel and Riley is what Buffy needs to help her get some perspective on what she's doing with Spike and why. Yeah. Diana counters with, agreed, but I still feel like Riley could have given her a smidgen of real empathy, sympathy. Instead, he covered it with one line about how the world keeps turning. I love the ending when Buffy, after changing her clothes, always a sign, calls Spike by his real name.
I didn't like when she called him William. I thought it was weird.
You thought it was weird?
Yeah, I was just like, well, it's like, weird, get off your high horse, Buffy. That's what I wanted to say.
I took it as she's talking to the man, not the vampire.
Mm. Yeah,
really? I thought the opposite. I felt she was talking down to him.
Mm-hmm. I saw it that way too.
Like, there you're are beneath me. Ugh, William. You know?
Okay. There are people that agree with you.
Yeah.
I've talked to people over the years that absolutely feel that way. And I always took it the way Stephanie was just saying of, you know, that she's acknowledging his humanity at that point. Mm-hmm. But there are definitely people who see it, who also see it as being condescending.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So this episode has a lot of, there's a lot of controversy about it in a lot of different ways. Yeah.
Michael Davis says, I do believe Spike is referred to as the Doctor in this episode. Well, Michael, more on that at the end of the episode. Carol says, but he never admits he is the Doctor. Susan says, Sam is my least favorite character ever on Buffy. She is just too good to be real. I get that they had to make her perfect in order to make Riley not fall back into Buffy. It's just too much fun. Or too much. I don't know why I added the word fun there, Susan. Sorry. Susan says, so what do folks think? Is he the Doctor? Patrick says, the oncoming storm. Nice one, Patrick. Bob DeGrand says, Val, this won't be the last one I'll be skipping. About the only thing I liked was Riley being married. It meant he wouldn't be sticking around. I found Spike being dumb enough to let the demon eggs hatch actually more offensive than Riley being back. His schemes normally get foiled because Buffy is so good, not because he's an idiot. Did we lose someone?
No.
I'm okay, bad.
That was weird.
Oh.
Taylor says, can I watch Double Meat Palace again instead? Of course, Taylor. I recommend you do, because it's a great episode. Natasha says, hate this episode. It's interesting.
Oh my gosh, what's wrong There's with
There's nothing wrong
guys?
With them. It's their opinion, Kim.
That's true. I mean, like, I don't...
I know, too.
Like, it's just so strange that I think it's funny when the group is against or has a completely different opinion than we do. Like, we can have an episode that we hate and everyone's like, we love it! And
agreed.
The opposite.
I was being hard on you for no reason. Unacceptable. Yeah.
Unacceptable.
Val says, Taylor, double meat is double sweet. So says Buffy. I'm sorry. I'm going to
like
just
double
advance.
Meat palace.
I think the expression double meat is double sweet is something no one should ever say. Unless you're being paid $500 a recording. Sylvia says, ugh. I always forget about this episode on rewatch, and whenever I see Riley, I think, all right, this episode. Really, the only thing good about this one is that Buffy finally realizes that she needs to stop doing what she's doing with Spike, and why. That scene almost makes up for the whole episode. Almost. On the bright side, Riley's wife made him slightly less Captain Cardboard, so yay. Oh, and this episode does contain one of my favorite Buffy lines. I won't say it, but it has to do with a certain article of clothing Buffy wears on her head.
Okay.
Vicky says, I really, really, really hate this episode. Spike being the Doctor makes no sense whatsoever. Well, he is British, guys. Anyway. Riley and his wife being so condescending with everyone, and let's not forget how he never said a word about Joyce passing. Oh, yeah, that's true! Oh my god, writers! You make him out to be the most insensitive, selfish, narcissistic person ever! Oh my god, did he even say anything about Joyce being dead?
No.
Well, that we know about.
Oh.
It could have been other conversations that weren't... I don't know.
No, he manages not to say a lot of things in this episode.
Which is one of the reasons why I probably really liked it.
I don't even remember. Did Riley meet Dawn before?
Yep.
Like,
yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because I was, when he was like, oh, you must have grown a foot. I was like, did he even meet her?
Yep.
And I'm like, yeah.
Yep.
All right.
Vicky continues.
So annoying.
Sorry, Carol. I spoke over you.
No. Nope.
Vicky continues, I like the end because it's a tremendously acted scene by both Sarah Michelle Gellar and James Marsters, and the realization that Buffy had been using Spike to feel something. I don't like the implication that it's thanks to Riley that she comes to that realization. Interesting. Mm. Emily says, I was just relieved he left at the end.
Amen, sister.
And Dylan has my favorite feedback so far. And the burger did not get eaten.
No way.
And he has a picture of Agent Smith with his finger on Morpheus's forehead, sweaty forehead, saying, it's the smell. One of my favorite scenes ever. And Rob posts a picture of SpongeBob SquarePants, or Bob L'Éponge, as we know him here. Yeah, we don't talk about people's pants here. It's just not cool. And it's a picture with at the top. It's the Bob SpongeBob SquarePants. Oh, you know what, people? Just join the Facebook group and look at it yourselves.
Too difficult to explain.
Yip says, one of the best moments in TV history. Buffy has a cow hat. It really is quite a lovely hat.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, the costuming department really went all out on this
Ray.
One.
I think Sarah Michelle Gellar is really good in this episode, actually. For a good part of the season, it feels like she's just going through the motions.
Going through the motions.
And kind of over the whole Buffy thing and wanting to get more into movies. But she really stepped up her game in this one. Ooh, interesting, Ray. I see what you did there. Gabrielle Coheen says, just finished watching and boy, do I have a lot to say. It is, yep. Is it Monday yet? Well, that person should have just posted what they wanted to say, and I will never know. Val says, bring it, Gaby. And then Gabriel says, all right, we'll go back to Val further down. Well, for the most part, I suck at guessing if you'll like an episode or not, Gabby. For example, I thought for sure you'd hate Double Meat Palace, but it was quite the opposite. And I thought you'd love Tabula Rasa, but nope. So I give up at predicting. Oh, hell, I can't stop predicting. At least I was right about you and Gone. Boy, if I was wrong about that, I would worry about you. But if I had to guess, I would think most here would say you didn't care for it, mostly because of the Riley factor. But who knows? You may have loved Riley in this one. Oh, geez.
Did everybody forget that I liked Riley?
I didn't forget. I remember that you liked Riley.
You know what? I think, Gabby, people just think you hate everything to do with Buffy. I think.
What? It used to be the other way around. Where's the guy? I love this show. And you're like, this is so dumb.
It's because we've been here too long.
Yeah.
What is this? Our 15th year of recording?
Yeah, something like that.
Bob says, my guess is that if you're throwing something at the TV, it will be something blander than beer for this episode. Ooh, wow. Jinx, you owe me a Coke. Ha, ha, ha. Good luck finding one with the name Illyrio on it, Debbie.
Yeah, good luck. Good luck finding any that say Debbie or Kathy. They don't exist.
There isn't even one that says Kimberly. I'm like, what?
No.
Hmm.
Nope.
But I found one that says Rashid.
Rashid?
No offense to the Rashids out there.
You know what? let Rashid take offense. Hey, Rashid, your life of privilege and yeah.
And I found Labor. One that's... I yes.
think they have elitist.
You're elitist Linda lifestyle.
Linda with a Y.
Linda with a Y.
Found, like... so many odd, like non-traditional names. Like, I don't think I found a John anywhere.
Wow.
Do you know nothing, John Coke?
Well, like, it's funny that you mentioned Linda with a Y. There's also Linds, L-I-N-D-S. What's that? It's like Linda, but a typo.
No, it's Lindsay shortened. But they didn't want Lindsay Lohan to sue them because she needs more drug money. Oh. Allegedly. Corey says, I'll put the over under at 2.5, Gabrielle. That's interesting. 2.5 out of 10? Weird. Now, Ashley writes,
I'll take the over.
Wow. Am I the only one who likes this episode? But then again, no. I like Riley. This episode reminds me of what some people go through when their lives are not doing too great, and you run into the X that you let slip through your fingers. Who's looking better than ever with a scar in the right place, dressed in all black, coming off all mysterious? Then you look over to the creep that you're sleeping with and you go, how the hell did this happen? I actually enjoy Sam, even if she is a Mary Sue. The moment she pops up, questioned Buffy with Riley, even as a Slayer, I would have thought for a moment that this woman was going to kick my ass. And there was nothing I would have been able to do about it. Granted, she's too good to be true, but damn, she's a genius with wedding photography and makes you wonder why people don't do that more often. Getting laid during a mission is one thing. Falling asleep is a big no-no. Once again, Spike is an idiot. Spike getting upset about Buffy playing a game with him? Buffy told him after the first time they slept together that he was convenient. She'd never gave him some declaration of love or anything. He constantly tried to use her pain by trying to convince her that she belonged in the darkness with him. From the beginning of their sexcapades, he knew that she was using him, and he hoped that her feelings would change over time if he just continued to put pressure on it. It didn't work, and it even came down to him in the end with him lying about him okay being used, just so he can keep her. A great episode, in my opinion. 8 out of 10 lesbian straight girl wedding fantasies. Ashley. And she posts a GIF. And Karen says, sorry, Ashley, I like Riley, and even I am not a fan of this episode. I like the ending scene between Spike and Buffy, but that's about it. Val says, I nominate Riley for the ice bucket challenge. Now, go away and don't come back. Maybe he'll run into a cranky Bengal tiger in Nepal. Here's hoping. Wow.
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 Wow. Yeah.
Thanks, everyone, for your hate.
Jeez.
And you're, I mean, listen, everyone's entitled to like what they like and not like what they don't like. It's okay. We understand. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if everyone was just not pleased that Riley was back, and maybe they were worried he was going to stick around. I understand not liking Riley. I hated the guy, but I got to tell you, the way he basically, you know, when your cat is in a rut.
No.
And you have to call Confuse a Cat. And then they show up and they do things to kind of confuse your cat out of their rut. Well, sure. I think Buffy in this case was a cat in a rut, and Riley was Confuse a Cat, and he came out and totally shook her out of her rut. He's like, hey, mm-hmm. I need your help. Come with me if you want to maybe die. And she came with him and went and helped, and then he was an idiot and didn't tell her not to kill the demon. She killed the demon. Then she meets his wife. But in the time that she was kicking ass and fighting alongside Riley, she felt alive again, you know?
Her purpose. She was back to what her purpose.
She was. It was like whenever the A team has to break Murdoch out of a mental institution. You know, you got to get the team back together again. And Buffy and Riley kicking demon butt was always awesome. I hated that guy. He was so cardboard and white bread and just guilt tripping his girlfriend because he couldn't stand to be, you know, the second place. Which is first loser, uh-huh. I'll grant you. But, I mean, this wasn't the case. It was, Buffy, I need your help. Right away, that was awesome. Right away, that was different than the traditional Riley, which always pissed me off. And right away, it gave her something to do that wasn't just, oh, I gotta be the Slayer, gotta be the Slayer. Thankless job. Doing minimum wage. I gotta deal with someone mansplaining things to me next to the friar because he's taken some stupid night court class would be awesome. Can you imagine a class made entirely of watching Night Court episodes?
I love Night Court.
Sookian.
Yeah.
So, sure. I must say that that was me slapping my forehead, for those of you listening, that the Riley hate for me never entered into it this episode. And I really didn't like him. And it was because I was so happy that Buffy was back to being happy about being involved in something greater than herself, something out of the old and ordinary and blah that she's in. I think if we're hating these episodes, it's because we're supposed to hate them. I think if we're hating what's going on, it's because there's nothing actually happening. It's awful. And we're in the same rut that Buffy is in.
Agreed.
And I totally think that this episode is confusing our cat and getting us out of this rut. And I can't wait for the next episode. I think I might know what it might be about, especially because we haven't really talked about it yet. But someone's getting married, and I want to talk about all the snacking, and I want to talk about the hiding in the bathroom while the family members are around, because that was pretty impressive.
Okay, you want to talk about that now, or you want to talk about that later?
I'm sorry. We're talking about it now. I'm sorry. Was that directed at me? I had someone come in the door.
Yeah, it was.
Sorry, just go ahead.
Directed at everybody.
Do you think they're going to get married?
I absolutely think they're going to get married.
Yeah. Yep.
I think they're totally going to get married. And I think it'll be, I mean, if we think that birthdays on this show are the source for hijinks, I think the hijinks coming up in this episode, which I have not yet watched, but I plan doing a commentary for, are going to be out of this world. I predict this will be the wedding to end all weddings. And I think that there may be some kind of space-time vortex involved. And I think that it's going to have an incredibly public, awkward declaration of love from Spike to Buffy. And it's going to get her relationship with him out of the closet. Which, by the way, kudos to Riley for not spilling the beans on that. He could have gone totally selfish and awful about that and didn't. So, although offering to kill the guy she's sleeping with is it's kind of a weird request. But anyway.
Somehow fits in their world.
Yes.
Yeah. I think it's going to come out on the wedding day that she's with Spike, and then Anya's going to be like, the day was about me, not about you.
I cannot answer the question because I thought we might be recording that one this evening as well, so I watched it. So I can't answer.
No opinion spoilers, please.
Nope. Staying silent.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. I'm staying silent too.
Oh, you've watched it?
I hope they don't get married.
Aww. I thought you only hated babies. You hate weddings too?
Ironically, I love me some weddings, but I just think that just to prolong the drama, I think something's going to happen where they don't marry in this episode.
No. No. No, I think it's perfect that they're going to get married because they came to the realization while locked inside their bathroom avoiding family members that their wedding isn't their marriage.
Or they'll and get folks, married, they'll elope and get rid of their as crazy
someone, family. As someone who's been in a relationship with the same human for, it's going to be 15 years, 16 years, something around there this year.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not married. The idea that a wedding and a marriage are the same thing is a really, really, really horrible problem. And the fact that on this show they said that made me really happy. Because your wedding can be whatever it is going to be, but it will not determine how your marriage will go.
Mm-hmm.
You could have the greatest wedding in the world with all kinds of choreographed things and surprise choirs singing at you from the balcony. But it doesn't mean that the wedding is going to work out. Mm-hmm. I meant to say the marriage is going to work out. So I'll edit that in later. It doesn't mean that the marriage is going to work out. And now I have to mute you guys laughing at that because it wasn't supposed to be funny. Oh, dear God.
Yeah. A marriage is a marriage and a wedding is just a big expensive party.
You should just put a down payment down on a house.
Yep.
Or, by the way, yes. I'm not a licensed financial planner or analyst, but if you have an extra couple hundred dollars, do yourselves a favor and buy some Apple stock. That's all I'm going to say.
I wish I had a couple hundred dollars.
I'm just saying right now. All right, let's move on.
But yeah, I mean, you have to really think about who you're having this wedding for. Are you having it just because you want it to be as good as everybody else's wedding? And if
it has to be better.
Yeah.
I think Anya just wants a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Because she wants to
be a normal
tradition
girl.
And Reno, exactly.
And she wants the gifts, right?
And of course, the presents and money.
Yeah, the gifts, definitely.
The presents and the money. What else?
I don't think I have any more points. I thought that Willow getting that kind of shot in the arm, encouragement, praise from a perfect stranger was kind of cool. But then I remembered that it involved her talking about someone who got it pretty bad, addicted to magic. And then I remembered how much I hate that storyline. So fuck that.
What do you mean? Say that again?
Sam spoke to Willow and told her, listen, we were involved in a thing and there was a shaman who got pretty, really badly addicted to magic. And I haven't actually met anyone who was able to give it up. So that's pretty awesome of you.
What if Sam was there to plant a seed and have her go back into magic?
I don't know. I think Sam was there just to make sure that we didn't think Riley was going to stick around.
Yeah.
And also at the beginning of the episode, when Buffy was in the basement cleaning her coat, cleaning the shame off her coat, listening to country music, the music of pain. When everybody was at the Bronze, Dawn and Willow were having a conversation about how civil the conversation has been going between Willow and Tara.
Yeah.
Did they say that Tara was going to be at the wedding the next week?
She was invited, yeah. She
I think they were inviting her, yeah.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of Buffy's birthday. Oh. I take that back.
Yeah, who knows? Not important.
Yeah, well, why wouldn't Tara be there?
Yeah, I would think. I mean, it makes sense. Was anybody else bothered by how, I mean, I found Riley to be kind of dense all the way through this, which didn't surprise me at all. But there were a lot of times when, you know, Buffy was feeling really crappy about herself, and the way Riley handled it was not wondrous. It just kept making it worse and worse and worse. Did anybody else see that, you know, that devolution of Buffy heading down, spiraling down through the episode?
What do you mean? No, I didn't feel that.
No?
That culminated with Riley walking in and finding her in bed with Spike.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Sam and Riley, you know, it just made her feel worse and worse and worse until she kind of fled to Spike for reassurance that she was, you know, that somebody
wanted her,
cared about her. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That she wasn't a total loser.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely got the feeling that she felt like she was a total loser.
Yeah.
And I definitely got the feeling that Riley was trying to stay, keep it business and not really get very emotional.
I feel he didn't want to cross that line. He didn't want to even go near it.
Yeah.
Yeah, which from Buffy's side, going back to what you had said about why wasn't she honest with him about, oh yeah, I was going to ask you to stay and all. I personally didn't feel that would have been appropriate for Buffy when he's married and all. That would have looked like she was kind of coming on to him, you know, emotionally. And probably would have made her feel that much. I mean, she was kind of at that point, she was kind of coming out of feeling like crap and probably would have made her feel worse.
I can see that side, but I also see that she's been hiding her feelings about everything for so long, and she hasn't really vocal. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a crazy bitch, but it seemed like it bothered me that she just didn't come out and be honest about that. It would have changed nothing about the situation. It would have been nice for her, especially because she's been bottling things up and not vocalizing things. You know, when you say it, it's finally real, and it could have been lethargic, maybe a little selfish, but whatever.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think it would have only served her own purpose It would have been purely selfish.
Right. Yeah. But it also could have been, but it also could have been cathartic because again, she's been, she bottles so much stuff up.
Yeah.
Wasn't I, my feeling was that she was going to tell him at the beginning before she found out about Sam. Because there was a moment when it started coming up and she's, it sounded like she was going to tell him and they got interrupted. And then Sam showed up and it's like, okay, that moment is gone.
The only thing that kind of, the only thing about this episode that bothered me was when she would get all like weird and zone out and say weird, like crazy stuff and be all like schoolgirl.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that you're a grown ass woman. Stop getting that little high pitched little voice and saying things. You know, I mean, like, oh, you're tall. It's like, really?
You mean like,
come on. I don't know. It just seemed, it was just one, it was one little thing that just seemed so like you're taking 99 steps backwards by acting like a smitten little schoolgirl.
It wasn't that bad, right?
Yeah, I just thought she was totally in shock at the beginning there. Then she got, because she got out of that after a little while. But, you know, she was acting that way when Riley first showed up.
It was weird.
Yeah, I got the feeling she was just, like, in this very surreal place, seeing him. She was, like, here she was in her new identity and her new role and was dealing with that and totally depressed by it and had kind of taken on this new reality. And then all of a sudden, bam, it's just shattered by her old reality just showing up.
She was, I agree.
Hey, I have no more points. Are we ready to rate?
Oh, you have more points?
I said I don't have any more points. Are we ready to rate?
I think we're done.
Done like dinner.
All right, guest, have at it.
Okay. I liked Buffy's arc just through this episode. I actually enjoyed little things like Spike being just so enjoying Riley's discomfort at the expense of Buffy. I mean, I agree with you, Illyrio. He is, you know, he's a very entertaining but evil guy. You know, he's a vampire. His judgment is not, you know, you can't apply regular human judgment to him. So I enjoyed a lot of things. I enjoyed Xander and Anya. So I'm 7 out of 10 cardboard couples.
I'm going to go ahead and go and get out of the way. Okay, like Illyrio said, at first, the first few times I watched this, I hated it because I'm like, oh crap, we finally got rid of Riley, and now he's back. Is he going to stay? Is he going to come back again like later? What is going on? But, and I couldn't enjoy it. I just couldn't allow myself to enjoy it. But this time for a change, I didn't really enjoy seeing Buffy feel so bad about her lot in life and compared to his, that his life is so fantastic. But I can appreciate the episode watching it from that point of view and I mean, like, everybody was so happy to see Riley and they liked him and they all liked Sam, his wife, and I give it a 8. Oh, this is the wrong one. I don't have a rating system.
You better hurry up because otherwise you're off the podcast forever.
I have 8 out of 10.
Hello.
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 I lost you guys for a second, but we're
back. Stephanie is searching for a rating system.
8 out of 10. I can't.
Bear eggs.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
bear eggs? Okay, 8 out of 10 bear eggs.
Hatching eggs.
Unfrozen what? Eggs.
Yeah.
Like this episode. I like Sam. I didn't find her vanilla or cardboardy at all. I was excited to see Riley. I screamed out that the TV, I went, oh, shit! That's my wife, nice. Or whatever my husband is. I was like, oh! I must have woken up the day that's where awesome. I thought it was amazing. I didn't see that coming at all. I was really intrigued by Riley. And I just realized that I left a pot burning on the stove this entire time we've been talking.
Oh my God.
So I must run over now.
Kim doesn't do things halfway, man.
Oh my God. How long have we been chatting? 2 hours?
About.
An hour and a half, according to this.
It was just a giant pot of water, so that's okay. Oof.
So, oh my God. Because it isn't humid enough where you are.
I know. Well, there goes my cup of tea that I was going to make before we started.
Don't you have a kettle?
All right. Anyways.
You really should get a kettle. Like one of those electric ones with the auto shut off.
I do have a kettle.
So what? But Benda, were you making a hot toddy? Is that what you're calling tea?
No, I was actually making a cup of tea.
All right. Never mind. Go ahead.
What was I saying? Oh, yeah. I liked Riley. I enjoyed this episode. I just think it's weird that they went to the Bronze on a school night. That's what I had in my notes. Where Buffy's like, yes, you can stay out till 11. I'm like, until 11? You have school tomorrow? That was about the most crazy thing that I thought happened. And I give it 8 out of 10 Arnold Palmers. That's my favorite drink, too.
Aww. What's an Arnold Palmer?
He's a golfer.
Well, it's half iced tea, half lemonade.
Oh.
I'd rather drink a golfer.
You could put it in that glass with all those balls.
There we are. Look at my
inside joke.
Gabby! I'll go before you.
Okay.
This episode, as soon as I saw Riley, I was like, is this my reaction to Riley, or do I have a stomach cramp? And it turned out to be neither. I was thoroughly, thoroughly, thoroughly pleased with this episode, despite of Riley. Despite of the continuing discussion of witchcraft addiction. Despite Sam and her cardboard cutoutness. Someone drying their hair?
No, I was just checking out my stove.
Okay, cool. And the reason why all of these things that could have made me go, ugh, blah, I hate it, this is dumb, is because Buffy was alive, but really alive, and in the action, and the thing, and that, and she wasn't just going through the motions. She was shaken out of her rut, and it was awesome, and sometimes that's what it takes, man. Sometimes it takes that guy that came, that you haven't seen in a while, or that girl that you haven't seen in a while. I don't want to be heteronormative about it. The idea that someone that you were hot for comes back, or you see them, right? And they turn around and it's never them. But this idea that this person comes back that you never expected, and all of a sudden all of your stuff that was going on is just put aside and you're focused on something completely different was fantastic. And even though I didn't like Sam, even though I thought Riley not telling Buffy that she shouldn't kill the thing, even though Spike was being stupid with those eggs, the fact that Buffy kind of woke up and at the end of it was like, you know what, Spike, maybe this isn't the best thing for me. I'm going to go maybe focus on me for a while. It was great. It was great. So I'm going to give this episode 9 out of 10 cardboard princesses.
Ooh.
Yay. I'm sorry, I zoned out. Adam Levine's on my television set. I thoroughly enjoyed this episode. It was a refreshing breath of air. I respect the opinions of those that hated it, but I think you're crazy because it was amazing. For me, it was nice to, like I said before, it was nice to see Riley again. It was like seeing an old friend, and I'm intrigued. I want to know how he found how he got the scar. I want to know about some of the adventures, and I'd like to know if Buffy could go on more. I mean, they don't have to be romantically involved, definitely don't need to be, but it would be, you know, I think they work well together. God, I don't know. I think the Buffy being shocked and saying weird stuff and that little baby voice was annoying, so we're gonna lose a little point of action for that. We're also going to lose points for bringing up the Three Stooges because I had completely forgotten about them, which is obviously why they must bring them up again, because they're still around, kids. They got to come back. But we have my bronze point, which is going to negate one of those. So I'm going to give this 9 out of 10 awkward encounters with an ex.
Cool.
Nice. That's everyone.
Yep.
That is everyone. That's what we thought. You can always let us know what you think, everyone. You can call us at 270-40-BUFFY, or you can send us an email at
potentialcast@gmail.com.
You can go to potentialcast.com. We have seasons 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 archived and ready for you to download. I've taken all of the remaining episode 5 episodes that were on the current feed off. So right now the current main page feed only has episode 6, or season 6 episodes rather. So if you're wondering where those went, they're in the dedicated season 5 section. Also, you can join our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/potentialcast, and you can follow us on the Twitter, where I remember to occasionally post about recordings and episodes and stuff, and that is twitter.com/potentialcast. I think that's it for contact info. Hey, let's quote some stuff. Hey, guest.
You sure you want me to go first?
Of course. Go first, guest.
All right. This is a little bit of a long one. It says, I got big stories to tell you if we get half a second. Did you die? No. I'm going to win.
Awesome.
Who's next?
I'll go. We have to find the nest and fast before Sunnydale turns into Trouble Meat Palace. I wish I'd said something else.
I think we died in this car on the way to the airport, and now we're stuck in hell. The radio said no traffic. It's a hell radio. Of course it said that. We'll never get to the airport in time to pick up your stupid uncle. By the way, did you notice that his uncle's name is Rory?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And they talked about the doctor?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
What? Obviously, they time travel.
I don't get it.
Mm.
Doctor Who.
Yeah. No. That's not.
Who's Doctor Who? Anyways.
Next.
What can Next I say? Week. A girl needs a little monster in her. You're welcome.
Is that a euphemism?
I think so.
Did everyone go? Could I do my second one?
Nope.
Oh, go.
He does.
I haven't gone yet.
Go.
You know, if you love Riley Finn so much, maybe you should just marry him. So stupid.
I can't go inside, so maybe the time is right for you to come outside.
Oh, so.
Here's my second quote.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Remind me. No, not repeat. Remind me.
when she saw Riley at the
she was that was like, really good.
She's like, were you always this tall?
Scooby-Doo imitation.
Oh, my favorite ultimate quote. Hey, Buffy, if I knew you were coming, I'd have baked a cake.
Somebody has to do the one that was mentioned in the email. Just
what, the hat one?
Yeah.
Go for it.
My hat has a cow. Is that it?
Yep.
Awesome.
Oh, sorry. I cut you off.
It's all good.
No, it's good. It's good.
I think that would be the best cosplay ever. Would be a double meat palace Buffy.
Do people do that stuff, Carol?
Heartbeat. Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
I'm pretty sure heartbeat. I saw that. And the cheerleader is pretty popular. What is it?
From Witch?
Witch, yeah.
If there are no more quotes, I think it's time to wrap up.
Okay.
You get one more.
Okay. Willow says, what a bitch.
Yes, she does. Carol?
Yeah?
Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Would you like to let the internet know where they can find you or listen to you, or do you not do that kind of thing?
I do that kind of thing, actually. I'm still on McKinley Cast, the Freaks and Geeks intro cast.
Nice. Oh, wonderful.
It's taking us forever to get through, but
I have no idea what that's like.
Well, considering there's only, 17, 18 episodes, and we've been going for like a year. not quite, but we've been taking a while, but we will not be dissuaded. We will finish. So that's through Quadruple Z, and that's ongoing.
Nice.
So.
Yay!
Yay!
Perfect. Well, thank you for that. Thanks again for joining us. Hey, Steph, what's on the plate for next time?
Next time is Hell's Bells.
I wonder what song I'll play at the end of that episode.
Surprise.
Well, thanks for joining us, everyone. Until next time, goodbye!
Bye!
Later, Tater.
Namaste, y'all.
just great because I see people like that. You know, I like right now, just like looking around people, and there are some people.
Oh my God, you guys!
What?
Listen, do you hear those cheers?
Nope.
Sorry. Oh
no.
What is it? Who won?
The Blue Jays just tied it. It's 3-3 in the bottom of the ninth.
Toronto sports.
Touchdown.
Yeah, touchdown.
The one with all the points. Did they score a rouge?
Who's playing?
Boston and Toronto.
Oh, good thing. Oh, Boston.
Okay. Sorry, I'm so sorry, guys. I'm so sorry. Just turn me down. I'm sorry.
Turn you down for what?
I'm going to be...
Let's rate.
Come in. Well, 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 look who's here. I haven't seen you in many a year. If I knew you were coming, I'd bake a cake, bake a cake, bake a cake. If I knew you were coming, I'd bake a cake. How'd you do, how'd you do, how'd you do? Had you dropped me a letter, I'd have hired a band, grandest band in the land. Had you dropped me a letter, I'd have hired a band and spread the welcome mat for you. Oh, I don't know where you came from, 'cause I don't know where you've been, but it really doesn't matter. Grab a chair and fill your platter and dig, dig, dig right in. If I knew you were coming, I'd have baked a cake, hired a band. Goodness sake, if I knew you were coming, I'd have baked a cake. How'd you do, how'd you do, how'd you do? How'd you do? How'd you do? How'd you do? How'd you do?